See, your beard is getting mighty, dude. That's great.
And we are live. Welcome back to Reptile Ramblings.
What's up, folks?
Yeah, sorry for the delay. Just little technical problems on all over all the ends. Every single end had a technical problem.
Hey, with the way it's been getting cold, man. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just we're preparing for winter, even though this week has been relatively pleasant.
Yeah. So this particular episode, we're actually going to be tackling, you know, several months after the fact, tackling our trip down to Snake Road in the Shawnee National Forest. Oh, hey,
still lost there? You. What happened? Yeah.
Okay, still here. I was saying.
The Southern Illinois Bonanza.
Yeah. So.
You know, as we explore and just kind of learn a little bit about the ecoregions that Southern Illinois contains, because when you think about it, Illinois covers 6 latitudes, so that encompasses a lot of ecoregions, like the northern extent of the Southern Gulf's coastal plains, eastern deciduous forest. So I mean, there's a lot happening in the state, but southernly, it's a sweet spot, as Nate has alluded to. He's been to the proclaimed Snake Road, and so we're going to dive into some of that. I'm excited, dude.
Yeah. So we were fortunate enough to take a lot of pictures while we were down there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Guess we'll start from the top. You kind of had them ordered.
Yeah. So these are like some years ago, a majority of these photos, since, you know, I live in Illinois. So I get the privilege of not living terribly far to our southerly ecoregions. So this is pre-COVID Snake Road. So the signage has fancied up a bit. It's a bit more modern. There's posters on it. It's more up to date. But I mean, this is proper Snake Road, which, you know, Nate had the privilege of joining us and experiencing.
I did have that privilege. It was something that I had been putting off for far too long and actually doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what, 10 minutes? I mean, we'll get into it, but 10 minutes walking, you already sent me a photo of a snake. I'm like, well.
I kid you not. It was more like 2 minutes. I've walked down the trail maybe like 10 yards. I look down, there's a plain belly water snake.
Yeah, and like to give people context, this is later October where the weather can be quite erratic and spotty. And so we were lucky that it was sunny, not terribly hot or cold, but it was later in the fall.
Yeah.
Still good snakes to be found all around.
Yeah, speaking of snakes, this next photo. Trail. Better view of the trail, I guess. Well, it looks like pretty much a plain gravel trail through the woods.
Yeah, and I guess for people that don't know, you know, up north are the bluffs, and then further south are the bottomlands, the swamplands. So those two habitats, the way they converge in on each other, it's snake habitat glory. It's or heaven, rather, for them.
Yeah. And speaking of the snakes that call this place heaven.
Yeah, no other earns that title than the proper cottonmouth himself, water moccasin.
Yeah. Far and away the most commonly seen thing there.
So much so that, you know, there are books on Snake Road in Southern Illinois in general, but, you know, the LaRupine Snake Road book has a cottonmouth ratio to other snake species in terms of abundance and frequency of seeing. So, you know, to be used as a ratio means you're pretty damn abundant.
Yeah. This was no exception. When I was there, that was far and away the most common snake. I mean, just walking down a trail in the course of what, 2.5-3 hours, we saw somewhere probably in the neighborhood of 20 cottonmouths.
It was 20 plus that day, which is for everybody listening, because, you know, I live here. I've gone there multiple times. I don't live terribly close, but I've gone there multiple times. That's kind of like medium to normal tail end of what you'll see, especially on Snake Road. So that's fantastic, though. See that many snakes in one day.
Yeah.
Plus more. I mean, Nate, you've seen quite a few more.
Yeah. We both. Now, I'm guessing this is a older photo.
Yeah, so this is an older folder. Just showing people that there are black rats down there too. Even though this one's particularly colored nicely.
Yeah, I also got lucky in seeing that one black rat that was on the bluffs.
Yeah, that's right. You were able to catch up to it. You saw it. I mean, it's a tiny little thing, right? Tiny.
Yeah, nothing compared to this, and it was jet black, pretty much.
I
think I added some photos to this album, so I think I have that pictures of that guy.
I did. I put them towards the end. I just wanted to show people like the animals, but yeah, it'd be good to compare and contrast.
Yeah, but yeah, here's that plain belly water snake I saw pretty much right off the bat on Snake Road.
Yeah, a little crusty, but nothing terrible. Just pretty dry looking.
Yeah. And then there's that black rat I mentioned. And you saw this one as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, rat snakes are pretty slow snakes when they don't feel terribly out of their comfort zone. So this guy hanged for like maybe hours that day.
And he really does stand out against the cliff face.
He stands out, but the way he was like, you know, good, what, 20, 30 meters up. He was up quite a bit. On the bluff.
Yeah.
And it was like for a black rat, that's like pretty young to be that black. It's like he's really living up to his name.
Yeah. It's like he has a reputation to maintain.
Yeah.
Now, I believe these are Alaganensis's species name. And
so I'm not up to date with the latest. I know they split them, what, back into four or something like that. I'm just up to date with you're gonna make me forget Spilotes. I call these Spilotes gray rats.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they are so variable in Illinois.
Yeah, it's kind of that tannish coloration on some of them.
Yeah, and this is not even the most extreme they get. Like I've seen more extreme, my friends seen more extreme phenotypes, so they are really variable. I would say they do tend to be more black ratty the further south you go in the state, but that's just how I've seen it anecdotally. Yeah. That's cool. That's so this is a fun one, right? So this is a couple years ago. This was near Snake Road on the swamp side, and Moni, a friend, she said, "Oh, look, turtles," and I looked down and like these legit quarter-sized turtles, these eastern musk turtles, are just crawling about. Obviously, they must have either, I don't know, got washed to that spot or crawled or what have you, but they were there. We saw them. That was awesome, baby turtles.
Yeah, and also quarter-sized, which means you can't buy or sell them. Sorry, folks.
No.
Also, they're a wild animal, so you probably shouldn't try and collect them either.
And you're
the lesser of two evils.
And you're in a national forest. Maybe you shouldn't really do that.
Yeah. And especially don't take video of yourself doing that. So
please don't be a dumbass. Yeah.
Ooh, a nice little, I'm guessing that's a Plethodon?
No, Eurystia.
Yeah, Eurystia. And it's a long list, but.
Eurystia, but yeah, cave sows. Did you get to see any down there or no?
We saw a redback.
Redback, we got. Well, zigzags too. Redbacks and mainly zigzags. But okay. Yeah, we didn't see too many amphibians, but that was fine. I mean, they and the herbs made up for it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a gorgeous little water snake.
Isn't it? So yeah, look, to get people notice. Yeah, you don't want to touch. You don't want to bring paraphernalia like snake hooks, tongs on the road. That's prohibited. Just don't do it ever. But this is a young ethogaster, plain bellied. Like they're quite gorgeous, and they can be quite different depending on neonate to neonate or juvenile. Yeah.
And they can be quite different on their geographic location. I mean, the ones on the Snake Road have a lot of different coloration than the ones that I'm more familiar with down in East Texas. The ones East Texas, we call them yellow bellies because pretty much jet black, almost cotton mouth on top, creamy yellow belly underneath. So,
yeah. So they get quite more variable the further north and eastern you go in their range because just, you know, as you'll remember, point out going further east, you know, you get copper bellies, which are just unreal looking, but you get intermediate forms in Illinois.
Yeah. Okay, another newt.
Yeah, it's just the one species we have. Just
yeah, it's one species most of us have.
Very tiny, very toy-like.
Still don't lick them.
Oh, for the love of God, don't.
milk.
Yeah, you know, I was debating on putting this on because I know we didn't see a milk. I mean, a milk is it's never a guaranteed kind of snake, but it's like it's nice.
Yeah, it's a land for peltis. They're so secretive.
Isn't it nice to give people a bit of the sauce that could be found down south? And so this is like the only red milk I've seen on the road. I didn't point it out, but somebody else found it, and it was an awesome experience because they're not that common to see cruising the road. You see them more in habitat. So yeah, they're neat. That was an adult. They're stalky, but they don't get as big as like true Easterns. So that's why, you know, Cecilia forever.
Western rib of steak. I also saw one of those down there. That was my. I don't know if it's a life for Western ribbon. I don't know what the ones down in East Texas are, if they're Western ribbons or not. But if they're different, then this is what that would have been. Not this one, but. It's not my life or a Western ribbon out there then.
Pretty sure it is. But yeah, man, I mean, they're gorgeous. I think you spotted that, the little guy, too. He was pretty small.
I think it was someone else spotted it.
Was it the other guy? Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Real tiny little fellow. They're speedy. They're gorgeous. They're very pretty.
Yeah. If Thamnophis tried to be a Mastophis.
Yeah, right. You know, they have the same kind of skull morphology a little bit. And they just have that slender build. I do like a slender snake, especially when they're big, like Mastophis.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And that's why I got Lampropeltis.
Carinata. Yeah, yeah. So that was from the very first trip to Snake Road that my friend Michael and me were on and went to. And obviously, this is the proclaimed Shawnee King, just because, you know, taxonomists and the way distribution maps are laid out, they can't contest to whether. If it's a Holbrook eye or Nigreta, whatever. So, I you know, you can call them Shawnee Kings, you can call them Black Kings. At the end of the day, a king is a king. It doesn't really matter too much, the pragmatic thing of that nature. But yeah, this is an awesome snake that Michael flipped.
Yeah. Deep in shed, too.
Pretty deep in shed.
It still looks like that.
Yeah, it still looks pretty nice. It has some nice yellows. Though I will say they tend to look better in Missouri.
Yeah. And then didn't see this on the trip, but frogs. Guessing saw that guy near Shawnee or on Shawnee.
There are frogs abound when it's pretty moist and humid. Or at night in summer. But yeah, green tree frogs, very plentiful. Bird voice tree frogs, which are a rarity for all of Illinois, are relatively abundant. And then tons of leopards, bulls, greens. So like your typical frogs. But it's sweet to be in a habitat where they're so abundant. You can just spot them out either at night or in the day. It doesn't matter.
Something we didn't see this time. Someone else saw them like 20 minutes before us, but there are copperheads at Snake Road.
There are. And so I've personally never seen a copperhead yet at Snake Road. It hasn't been like a top tier agenda of mine in terms of our state's herp list encounter or whatever. But, you know, I have road crews them. I've seen more DORs than AORs. So, I mean, I'm in the negatives, but still, it's fascinating and great to see the two Kissajon species in the same, basically, region.
Yeah, sharing the same habitat.
Yeah, basically, you know, they rule the bluffs, the forest, the copperheads, and the cottonmouths rule the bottomlands. That's kind of how the division of the species works for them.
Yeah, back to frogs.
Well, this was on our recent trip. this was somewhere around near the Shawnee and property, but yeah, Bird Voice Tree Frog, one of the prettiest ones Michael and I have ever seen. This was a gorgeous looking specimen. You got to see some frogs, didn't you, Nate? We saw the southern leopards, but we saw other things too.
Yeah, but this is what it looks kind of off trail in the bottomlands. Well, not in the bottomlands, just above where the swamp really starts. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, just to give people context. For the most part, you can hike off trail because it is a natural research area. Despite that title, you can walk off trail. It's not really you don't want to push it out there. So like, be wise. Don't be stupid in natural areas. Keep them clean, keep them safe. But yeah, this is how like some of the bottomlands will look. This is near the Cache River. And, the further down you go, the further the bottomlands are dominated by these, these older growth trees. Because as you see, there's not that many, so plenty of spacing and clearings, enough so where there's moist areas and there's drier areas, and so you can have that culmination of huge biodiversity.
Yeah. Another Anuran, Misamid this time.
We did get to see this.
Is this a Talpoidium?
Talpoidium, yes.
I only saw the Neontinic ones, but yeah.
Nate hasn't seen a terrestrial version, but he did get to see the other, a bit more rare type.
Yeah.
A Neontinic one. So that's neat. Yeah, they're cool.
Opacans.
Yeah, marbles are awesome. They're probably my favorite of our state salamanders. But
I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, they're gorgeous little things. Real cool.
And back to Erythrogaster.
Yeah, so again, I don't want to make it seem like I see so many snakes, but I do. I take quite a bit.
It's Snake Road. You're gonna see a lot of snakes.
Yeah. Well, this was away from Snake Road, but it just shows how intermediate the coloration can be with plain bellies. This one has a lot of red in it, more so than the yellow, and so it's leaning towards copper bellied. But yeah, just the Shawnee in general, it's so huge. There's so many different habitats in it. It's a very biodiverse place, so it's something I hold dear and I'm thankful for in the state. The prairie state is so recalled, but we have less than 13% left. So
yeah, I saw a chart showing amounts, the total area percentage dedicated to agriculture of states, and you look around it, most of the states like 10-20%, then get into the Midwest and it just spikes. It's like Ohio's like 34, Indiana's 47, Illinois is like 77% dedicated to agriculture.
I mean, it always hits the top three. It's in the top three.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for whatever natural area, whether it's restoration or preservation we have. So I'm a big advocate. Like, it's not all poo-poo. It's like, well, look at what we started and look at what we have now. We have more natural area being restored at pretty fast rates in the state. It's just we have to try and preserve historical ones too, or there won't be any old growth in the state left. So, but no, it's fun going down south. So I'm glad you had a good time. We don't have to peruse through all the photos. I just wanted to give a general gist. Oh, so this one, let's just say, so this is the biggest freaking spring peeper I've ever seen.
That is a chonker of cruciforms.
That's a giant. It's a giant. Yeah, so I'm like, well, I guess Southern Illinois makes them big down south. But yeah.
Went from spring peeper to spring popper.
You pop it in your mouth. Let's go down there.
I don't know what type of steroids and supplements that thing's been taking.
Yeah, I mean, it's been rivers like the Big Muddy. It's just a terrible river. Illinois, but so begins sharing a moment with you and Johnny, my friend Johnny, Michael, and Moni, Johnny's wife, Hector the white dog. So we make a good team. I mean, it's fun, it's cohesive. It was a good time on Snake Road. Plenty of cottonmouths. And then, well, look, so you said Western Ribbon, and then what was the next snake we seen? I think it was the green, wasn't it?
What was it? There were rough green snakes down there, right?
Which is, you know, yeah, which is, you know, who can hate on a green snake? I think we talked about this before, but yeah, seeing a rough green is awesome. They're not terribly common, but they're not terribly, they're not even rare. They're just not commonly seen. You have to really look. In the foliage. And thankfully, this one was already spotted out to us by quite a few people.
Yeah. The American Mamba.
Yeah. If you scale it, I mean, I think people could do good with these. It's just you have to be dedicated to that diet. I don't want to push
insects,
it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You just got to be dedicated.
Yeah. Which that can't. When you think about it, not that many people keep insectivorous snakes, but the only thing that comes close to that that's commonly kept is garter snakes.
Yeah, even though they're more of the slimy, wetter variety, the arthropod.
That's easier to provide for, yeah.
Yeah, it's much easier. But, you know, I mean, you could raise, maybe not crickets, but grasshoppers. I guess depending on the state. Let me not get into those matters. That's USDA crap, so don't worry about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's an idea.
Let's see here. Man, nice little frog.
So very pretty southern leopard. You know, they can be quite green out there. Very pretty.
Yeah, that's a lot greener than the types color face I see around my neck of the woods.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, that was really green for what I've noticed before. So this is a stunt.
Count Mouse living up to their name.
Yeah, man, that's a great shot you took and just aiming it down like that.
I took with my phone, but heads up, I wasn't holding my phone. I had a selfie stick that was extended pretty far out. So
yeah, this guy's.
I kept my hands.
He was hovering over the snake.
I was using my secret X-Men powers to just hover and. No, but I made sure to keep my hands well out of the strike zone. I wasn't trying to pull a Jeff Leibowitz, so.
Yeah, so these are like pretty nice examples. They're both climbing the same cliff, same bluff. I spotted them. Mainly by hearing them and seeing them, but you know, they were awesome. The one I took all the photos of was pretty dark, and then the other one further up was a lighter.
Yeah, very blurry photo of Redback.
So if it was out the road, that was a zigzag. If it was out the
road. Okay.
They look very similar, almost the same, but yeah.
Man. See, that's a cricket frog, right?
Cricket frog. Yeah, this is a nice little green boy. Almost not, barely tell him in the photo. And then more cottonmouths. Again, we're emphasizing. This is fun. This is a fun thing.
Yeah.
For context, this possum's good. That was the first one, right?
I believe so.
He was okay, buddy. The second guy, he was okay too, but a little more tattered.
But speaking of Talpoidium, the Neotenic Talpoidium, this is what we saw the night after the night of going to Snake Road.
Yeah, so these are a fun surprise. I actually have never seen this morphotype as well. So, and they're gorgeous. Like, my God, the way they hold color. Some of them that we saw that night, like, photos don't do them justice. I mean, that's like
they really don't.
That was the closest, and still, it was electric. Like, folks, it was electric. There's
another one. Yeah. And they're neotenic, so they still have their gills, which is also really cool because you don't really see that often. Just a much more colorful version of an axolotl almost.
Yeah, a bit smaller, but still quite stout-bodied animal. They were quite pretty. We saw those along with adult newts.
Yeah, so, but you can just see them hanging out on the bottom of this pond, how that coloration can help blend in with the decaying vegetation and moss and stuff like that that's underneath there.
Yeah. No, they blend in well. I didn't have the time. Out of the water, different story. But yeah, that's one of the newts we caught. We netted as well.
Yeah. I was about to say, speaking of the devil.
like little lizards.
And we then we decided to go out on the water.
Yeah, back on onto the mighty Cache, which is, you know, one of the largest, longest rivers we have down in southern Illinois. And it's a nice place. It was a nice stretch where you can see picking cypress trees, which is, again, not common unless you're in southern Illinois. So that's like this is the northern extent of the range here in the state.
Yeah. Just cruising down the river. And I will say, Mike was kind of the MVP for actually bringing along that motorized canoe.
Yeah, my friend Michael was a stud in doing this. You know, we got very intimate with the habitat, quite up and close and personal. Had some fun stories to tell about it. It was pretty cold that day, but turtles were abound. Turtles, you know how hardy turtles are, so it was no surprise to see as many as we did.
Yeah. Turtles don't give a damn how cold it is. If there's sun out, they're going to get out.
They're hardcore. They're very hardcore, which makes me think we did have alligators at one point in the southern reaches of the state. And, you know, it makes sense. If it stayed warmer a bit more consistently, I think they would have had a fighting chance and just kind of floating.
I'd say, yeah, probably before the last glaciation period. It wouldn't surprise me if they're that far north up the Mississippi Drainage Basin.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, the oldest fossils of the genus alligator are actually from, like, Nebraska and the Dakotas. So,
which is wild to think about, but did it exist when the Western Interior Seaway was...
The first genus of alligator, that was, like, the Miocene, like, maybe the Oligocene. So,
this by was that point, kind of
very dry. Well into the age of mammals. This is still when I was, you know, still warmer and so still wetter in the Great Plains, but it was starting to dry out. It wasn't the vast world rainforest that we had like at the height of the Eocene. So
yeah, the Eocene was pretty vital, or like really interesting to see how the bird and reptile clash for I guess what supremacy type of deal. I'm not trying to make it romantic more than it is, but it's interesting the forms they had and how close we were to having them around, especially the Pseudosuchians or whatever.
Yeah, the Mecosuchians, yeah, down on Australasia.
Yeah.
Land crocs are people actually ran into, which is just wild to think about.
It's mind-boggling, very close, but hey, it is what it is.
But what was I going to say? Lost my train of thought there. But oh, yeah, here, speaking of turtles, photo you took.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw a mix of like red-eared and painted. I think the majority were painted, but
you know, it won't surprise me.
You know, these are like the two hardiest turtle species, and thankfully the red ear is native in Illinois, as opposed to so many other places has been just a train wreck.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, but yeah, great day to the turtles. Pretty. Relatively quiet day, like give people in context. This was later October. So by this point, most of the migratory birds have already left. A few stragglers here and there, mainly just, you know, residentials. But it was a beautiful day overall. You know, good memories to be had.
But is there anything else you want to say about Snake Road before we move into anything else?
Well, I mean, I encourage everyone who's listening and just wants to visit another great natural area, please visit the Shawnee. You know, see all areas of the Shawnee. Snake Road is amazing and one of the main attractions for me in particular and other naturalists. But, you know, there's so many other preserves and places within the Shawnee itself that you can explore and have your own novel experiences, encounters, what have you. Snake Road is awesome for social and natural aspects. So, yeah. Please give it a check. It's awesome. As Nate can allude to, that won't be his last time. That will not be his last time. Just so
it will not. No. And I don't know if I'm making it a spring because of something that I can't say at the moment on air yet. But my cousin, who is more a plant guy, he's now actually in southern Wisconsin working at a plant nursery. But he said he would like to go down there in spring. So,
hey, man. Always down for a good time and exploring. So, yeah, we could probably talk about something off air. But, anyway, that's fantastic. I'm glad you had a good time. So did I and everybody else. Everyone meeting you. You know, I had you know, positive feedback from everyone saying how much of an up-tune guy you are and just kind of upbeat attitude.
I'm glad my off-color jokes didn't scare them all away immediately.
Yeah, no worries. I was like, don't worry, guys. I know how to disarm them. It'll be fine. And then, you know, the rest of the day, let's say, yeah.
Don't worry, guys. I already blocked him on Twitter.
It was good times. Well, yeah, man. I think through the photos, I think people kind of got the gist of Snake Road. I didn't really share that many habitat photos. We saw, I think, the beginning too. It was a good time. We seen the green, Western Ribbon. We seen quite a few. I mean, and any other feedback, I guess, you want to give on Snake Road?
I was going to say, you want to talk about the whole new controversy about them potentially opening up to hunters during the snake migration?
So I haven't really paid attention too much news to that. I haven't either.
I was wondering if you know more about it than I did.
No, because I think it's just too theoretical. I mean, it can always be tossed out there, but why? Hopefully not. I should look into this, actually.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just stop talking out of our asses for the moment when it comes to that.
Yeah. I don't know nothing, folks. So this is in another county. The main counties when it comes to Snake Road and Shawnee in that area is Union and Johnson County. So that's where Nate and I have been. Those are the main counties. So this is further east. This is Saline County. And what I love about Saline County, the Shawnee in that area, and just the overall habitats, there's much more, what do you call it, intrusion of Ozarks and other rocky formation. I mean, it's a very wild-looking habitat. We can look at this a bit. I have, like, a few photos of this. But this is a gorgeous vista. This is actually, you can see this vista. I forgot what the trail name is. But you can find that.
Here's something. This one, we didn't find this one particular one when I was there, but we did see five line skinks down Snake Road.
Yeah. Five line and the others.
I swear this habitat looks more like something you see in like the Rockies than you would associate with Illinois.
Oh, I think more Appalachian. I think more like Georgia, you know.
I can see that. I was thinking more like the drier elevation. But
I mean, in that we can relate to, because, yeah, this for sure. Because, you know, we were in somewhat of what you would call a mountain range. So, you know, the different elevational levels, you know, just had different habitat. So this is, like, awesome habitat to see in Illinois. You know, I get giddy when I see more rocky outcropping like this. So that was a sweet place to see. Yeah, it's awesome habitat. One of the inhabitants of a habitat like this is a generalist like Southern Black Racer.
Yeah. I mean, look at that face. That's a face only a mother could hate.
Oh, love. I mean, or Black Mamba, right? You know? Ah, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even though I'm partial to our blue racers, because we may not have the prettiest, but we do get some pretty ones here and there.
Blue Racer, Ohio's official state reptile.
Is it really?
It is, yeah.
That's actually awesome. Everybody else chooses like garters and whatnot, which is not wrong. No hate to the garter fans, but
yeah. But funny story, our state fossil is a species of trilobite because Ohio's fossil records mostly like Devonian and Silurian, so have a lot of trilobite fossils. And my dad, when I was a little kid, knew I was, you know, big into dinosaurs and paleontology and that sort of stuff. So whenever you're trying to get me to eat something new as a little kid, you always say, oh, be like the Ohio State fossil and trilobite. But
Yeah. I mean, somewhat similar here to Southern Illinois as well. You know, I mean, our state fossil record is what the Thule monster, which is, I still don't know what that is, but just a primordial organism, very, very far back in time.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about Southern Illinois?
No, I think we gave enough of an overview and just teasers of Southern Illinois in general. I mean, it's a vast place. I have yet to scratch, I would say, 1/4 or, you know, the surface of the beast. So it's always a great place for me to go back and just learn, reset, just whatever to do down there. And, you know, I'm glad you had a great time down there as well. It's awesome. Hopefully more of this will come in the future, and we'll see what happens.
But yeah, I was hoping at the end of this, we could actually talk about anything new with either of us, since it's been a little bit since we've talked.
Oh, dude. So yeah, I did talk about the Carinata. She's awesome. You know,
sorry to cut you off there about that, but go on.
No, I'm glad you reached me. So yeah, my Carinata, she's doing well. She shedded a couple days ago, and yeah, I mean, I noticed that they're relatively slower growing than what you would expect for such a large colubrid that they get to as adults, which is wonderful. I love that sort of species that has a slower metabolism. You know, it's well adapted to my kind of lifestyle, and it's still a cool species that I'm enthralled and enthusiastic with to work with. I'm excited to see what the future holds with this animal.
Yeah. So a little bit of news with me. I finally got my own DSLR camera. I finally got my Nikon D5100. Finally arrived a few weeks after my Costa Rica trip.
Yeah. You did well though with the camera you borrowed. That was pretty well done.
But got a few lenses ordered, hopefully arriving the next week or two. So at not too bad price. Granted, the 500 millimeter I bought is used, and it's not a Nikkor that, like, a secondary company that makes lenses. So I had to look up the exact order. But
no worries, man. I mean, if it's good reviews, if you do your homework, you'll be fine.
I didn't just buy the first 500 millimeter I saw on market. So
yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be good. It was exciting, man. It's a very expensive hobby, but, you know, a well one, a well-meaning one. But I enjoy photography.
I've cracked this joke before, and I'll keep on cracking it. I've gone through this new hobby of crippling credit card debt.
Such is life. Just as life is us.
There's this meme that's been just circling around the reptile community past half year or so. It says, like, oh, the average person spends $125 a year on their hobby. Reptile people are just like,
I got you beat there, bud.
It's like, it's just a monthly expenditure. That's like a weekly expenditure.
Got you beat there. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty, not green, but, you know, for me, having my first snake ever and having, you know, tortoises and lizard beforehand, I can see how it adds up, because I mean, if you're able to set them up properly, why not maximize your space?
Yeah,
I think it can get you in trouble. It can get you in trouble. And I love herping, so herping for me is fantastic. I'm able to find novel experiences and maybe scientific experiences if given the right encounter. You never know. Out in the field.
Speaking of herping, I don't know if you want to talk about it on air or off air, but you want to talk about any potential next year herp trips?
Nothing in the card yet, you know, keep you guys waiting. But I mean, I probably this year I took herping off, even though I did have an international trip back to Mexico. I didn't do too much fielding out in my state. So I want to get back to my roots, just herp more areas, maybe different places. That's always exciting and refreshing to see what you can strike up with research and field experience. Maybe something international. I think I would like to try to keep that religious or whatever every year. One,
keep the streak going.
Keep the dream going.
Keep the streak going, but yeah.
That as well.
Use every page in your passport before you have to renew it.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful I got plenty of time. But yeah, man. Yeah. So next year should be fun. who knows what's in store. Hopefully the same for you, and hopefully we can, you know, collab more and just, you know, hang out more. It was quite fun.
Yeah. But I think I'll stop there. I want to go over a thing or two with you after we go off air, but
let's do it. All right.
For folks. Those of you spying on us, thanks for joining in.
So lovely, guys. We'll see you.